Good morning and welcome in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we gather in worship today, my prayer is that our time together will be a time of peace and hope and grace for each one of you. Deacon Bill will be preaching today, and I thank him for sharing his message with us. Our sermon hymn is 635, We Walk by Faith. We begin worship with the brief order for confession and absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors or families or friends as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. Free us from the urge to speak with haste, offending those we fail to fully understand. Let our words always honor your wondrous love, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for each one of us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to each one of you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, the strength of those who believe and the hope of those who doubt, may we who have not seen have faith in you and receive the fullness of Christ's blessing, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our readings today, our first reading is from the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning with verse 14a and 22 to 32. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God, with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man, handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, what you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. The word of the Lord. And a reading of Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my God above all others.
All my delight is in the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people.
But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied.
I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods, never take names upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. It is you who uphold my lot.
My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. Indeed, I have a rich inheritance.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because God is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And the second reading is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if for now, for a little while, you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called a twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
So I'm guessing you weren't expecting to hear me presenting a message today, were you? Probably not. I guess it was about 2 months ago when Pastor Peggy surprised me by asking, "Would you consider preaching one Sunday?" I was taken aback, then said, "That's not my strong suit. I'm an administrative associate in ministry, deacon as they call us these days, but I'll think about it." And so I did, and here I am. Every year at this time, we hear the story of Jesus entering a locked room and making himself known to his disciples, and about Thomas. Of course, this gospel reading is about much more than Thomas, but that's where I want to focus for the next few minutes. The first time Jesus appeared to those disciples in that locked room, Thomas is absent from the group. However, a week later, Jesus returns under similar circumstances, behind locked doors. With each visit, he greets them with the words, "Peace be with you." The second time, however, Thomas is there. But let's back up a bit. After that first visit, the disciples told Thomas that while he was away, Jesus came to them. What they didn't tell him, at least it isn't recorded in the scriptures, is what Jesus did right after he greeted them with peace. The scriptures say, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Yeah, they got the opportunity to see for themselves without having to ask. But we dwell on those often quoted famous words of Thomas when he said to his buddies, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." Of course, he's talking about believing in a living, breathing Jesus. I mean, let's be clear. His friends are telling him that a dead man is walking and talking. Thomas is exhibiting just another example of the mindset of that dense dozen, as I've often referred to those disciples. Why have I labeled them dense, you ask? Well, think about it. How many signs and wonders, miracles, did Jesus perform in their midst? Feeding the multitude with a few loaves and fish, enabling the blind to see, the lame to walk, curing leprosy, quelling the storm at sea merely by speaking to it, raising Lazarus from the dead, entering locked rooms, and the list goes on. They were there. They experienced those events. Yet, time after time, they need to be reminded and reassured. Of course, Jesus, with infinite patience and grace, does so. Another reason I say they're dense is because I am so, so very much like them. And I'll wager many of you feel the same. Am I right? Of course, I'm not talking about you thinking I'm dense, but that you feel you are as dense as me and them. No? But let's get back to Thomas looking for proof. After wishing them peace that second week, what does Jesus do? He looks Thomas squarely in the eye and allows him to verify by saying, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And that frail, insecure human being, Thomas, did just that, then said, "My Lord and my God." I've often thought Thomas got a bad rap. Why? Just for being honest. We are, most of us anyway, doubting Thomases. We need that proof. We need to verify for ourselves. That's the human condition. We need to be in charge, to feel that we are in control. Well, have I learned the hard way on more than one occasion just how far from reality that is. However, as Jesus said, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Isn't that the very definition of faith? Believing in things unseen? You bet it is. Faith is at the heart of Christianity. Faith that Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Faith that Christ rose from the dead. Faith in our gifted, courageous, and dedicated healthcare workers that soon this COVID-19 tragedy will end. Yes, faith. John tells us in that gospel passage, "But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." And through faith, we do. So, my friends, do not despair. Remember what Christ told the dense dozen those many years ago, and I say to you today, peace be with you. Amen.
As we get ready to pray today, I'm thinking that passing the peace, when we get back together again, that being able to pass the peace of Christ to one another is going to take on a whole new meaning for each one of us. I know it will for me. So uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. We pray for those convalescing, homebound, and all affected by this current social quarantine and isolation, for our first responders, military members and their families, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, the grocery store workers, the people who deliver our mail, those delivering our food to the stores, for the food bank workers who work so tirelessly to enable people to have food to eat. We pray for John Fisher and his daughters Luann and Lauren and Debbie, for Willie Thomas, for Patricia Sullivan, Lois Gear, our call committee and call process, our Stephen Ministry caregivers and receivers, and those we name either silently in our hearts or out loud on our lips. Bring healing and relief to all, and give us hope in the promise of new and eternal life, where pain and suffering will be no more.
Our response today is, hear our prayer. Open the doors we close, O God, when we fear those who worship you in different ways. Guide us to unity and harmony so that we may come to respect and cherish our commonalities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open the paths we ignore, O God, when we prioritize financial gain and convenience over listening to the groaning of the earth. Inspire all to care for the world you have made so that living things might thrive. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open the rooms we lock, O God, to those who live without a homeland or place of safety. We pray that generous nations offer refuge and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open the hearts we close, O God, to the cries of those in pain. We pray for those isolated physically or emotionally through incarceration, addiction, mental illness, chronic suffering, grief, this coronavirus pandemic, and all in need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open the ways of love, O God, in the pursuit of peace throughout the world, and bless the efforts of missionaries, healthcare professionals who are working tirelessly to keep us safe and well during these trying times, and activists for women and children, relief workers going above and beyond to ensure those on the margins have food, especially those who find themselves in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open the way to eternal life, O God, as we remember those who have died in faith. Free us from the fear of death, that we embrace the peace you have promised. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we pray the Lord's Prayer together as Jesus taught us using the more familiar words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the one who brought forth Jesus from the dead raise you to new life, fill you with hope, and turn your mourning into dancing. And Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Christ is risen, just as he said. Go in peace, share the good news. Hallelujah. Stay safe. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.